If you would like me to, or if you would like to join me in today's scripture readings, we will be reading from Deuteronomy 23, verses 21 through 23, which is found on page 142 of the Bible in your hymnal or in your pews, and then Matthew 5, 33 through 37, which is found on page 684. And I will begin reading from our passage in Deuteronomy. If you make a vow to the Lord your God, do not be slow to pay it, for the Lord your God will certainly demand it of you, and you will be guilty of sin. But if you refrain from making a vow, you will not be guilty. Whatever your lips utter, you must be sure to do, because you made your vow freely to the Lord your God with your own mouth. And now from Matthew, again you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. The word of the Lord, thanks be to God.
Before we meditate on God's word, let us pray. Lord, as we take a moment to reflect on your word for us today, we don't invite your spirit to be a part of this. We know your spirit's already here, but we do pray, Lord, that your spirit would move, that it would move in us and in this place, that it would open our ears so we can hear what you want us to hear this morning. It would open our minds and soften our hearts so that we can receive what you have to say to us this morning. As your servant, Lord, I'm not perfect, so I pray that if there's anything I say this morning that is not from your truth, I pray that they would fall away. Anything that is your truth and what you want us to hear, I pray that it would remain with us today and always. In your Son's name that we pray. Amen. A little bit of background on who I am. My name is Michael Spicuzza, and I'm formerly the pastor at Third Presbyterian Church down in Newcastle, so if my name seemed familiar for some reason, that could be it. I served that congregation for about 3.5 years, and I left that call almost 2 years ago. It'll be this October for various reasons, none of them terrible. It was just a time for me to move on and figure out what ministry was going to look like in my future. I had done what I could there and realized that it was time to move on, and I've gone back into the construction industry. I'm now a service technician / customer service person for Pella Windows and Doors throughout the Western PA area. And my wife, who's feeding our son back there, we reside just outside of New Wilmington. We've stayed in the area even after I left my call at Third Church. We just find this place to be home, and I'm happy to be here with you. It is really fun for me, as someone who served in the Newcastle area with Anthony at the same time, and that's one of the big reasons I know Anthony. It's fun for me to get around our presbytery and be in the different churches that I heard different things or had heard of, even if not heard much, and wondered, I wonder what this church is like. I wonder what that church is like, and as a pastor, you can never go because you're busy on Sunday morning. So I'm excited to be here with you at Faith Church for the first time. And since my context for preaching is not one that easily allows for a sermon series or a theme, because I'll preach here 1 week and then I won't preach for a while and then I'll preach another time, unless the preacher or the pastor where I'm going to be says, hey, can you preach on this text or in this theme? I have to pick it myself, and as much as that sounds like a good thing, it's really hard to figure out, okay, what am I supposed to say to a group of folks? What does God want me to say to a group of folks that I've possibly never met before? It's a hard task, so I try to just pick something out of my own life experience as I live day to day as a father and a husband and a faithful employee to a company and try to reflect on that. The only instructions Anthony gave me this morning is he said to make sure that you preach for at least 40 minutes. And I assumed that you all would know what that was about. I'll have to ask him later. He just sent me that text this morning. Today's sermon is for all of us, but I think this will especially speak to those of us who are like me and don't know how to say no. You know who you are. You're the people that say yes to everybody who asks you to be part of this ministry, or help out with this thing at your kid's school, or whatever it might be, to take on this extra task at work. You're the yes people. That's me. I have a problem. I don't know how to say no. I'm too nice. I want to please everybody. I want to do everything. I want to make sure that I'm not being lazy and that I'm serving the Lord and doing everything I can to be faithful to that. And it's not just about specifically, as we move forward, it's not just specifically about ministry within the church setting or even a nonprofit setting. It's anything that we might get involved in life. I don't know how to say no. If I'm being honest, I should have said no when Anthony asked me to preach this morning. And not because I don't want to be here. I do want to be here. Preaching is still something I enjoy immensely. Whether or not I go back into full-time ministry, I don't know. But I do enjoy preaching, so it's hard for me to say no, but I should have. It's Labor Day weekend. It's the beginning of the busiest season of the year in my life. The fall is always immensely busy for me and my family. I volunteer with a ministry at Westminster College with some of the students there. That occupies my time. School just started, so that begins. Agreed to volunteer for something else at the college. My wife and I call Lebanon Presbyterian Church home, just down the road in West Middlesex, and I do some things there. I preach there on a somewhat irregular basis. I do a lot of different things, and then I'm married and have little kids. Anthony, I should have said no. In fact, I think I already did say no. I was smart enough to say no once because I was too busy, because I think he asked me to preach beginning of July, and my wife had just been given birth to our son. He would have been about 2 weeks old. I said, no, can't do that. But that's rare. I'm usually not good at saying no. I think it has more to do with that adage, just because you can do something doesn't mean that you should. Just because you're literally able to say yes to something doesn't mean that it's a good idea. There are a lot of things that we could say yes to in life, but that doesn't mean it's wise. So we're going to take a look at these two passages that John read for us this morning and reflect on what the Lord might have to say for us in this world of saying yes or no. And it relates very closely to the children's message because it's about our truth of our words. But I think I'm going to take in a little bit different twist than we might be familiar with in terms of our yeses and nos just being simple truths, but what might be behind saying yes or no to something that we commit ourselves to in life. Be reminded of the words of Deuteronomy. If you make a vow to the Lord your God, and I believe that your Bibles say to pay, and that's because in ancient times this was referring to, hey, don't make a commitment to say you're going to give X amount of money to the Lord and not, or goods or food or whatever it was you had to offer in that day. Don't say you're going to give X amount if you're unable to, so just don't vow. You shall not delay fulfilling it, for the Lord your God will surely require it of you, and you will be guilty of sin. But if you refrain from vowing, you will not be guilty of sin. You shall be careful to do what has passed your lips, for you have voluntarily vowed to the Lord your God what you have promised with your mouth. It's a good reminder to us, and when we live our lives, that it is okay to make commitments. It's okay to promise a bag of candy if you actually can. It's okay to say that you will serve in some capacity in the church or in a community organization if you're able to, but if we can't, it's better to just say, no, I can't do it. I don't want to do it half-heartedly. There's one major yes, however, that we have, I don't want to assume, but I would wager a guess that most of us here this morning wouldn't be here if we didn't say yes to one very important thing, and that very important thing is God Almighty, Jesus Christ. We say, when we take and put our faith in Him, that's saying yes, Lord. You're vowing to live out a life that is worthy of Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean we're going to do it perfectly, but we're saying, sure, Lord, I will commit my life to you. And there are a lot of things that kind of follow with that. It's not as simple as saying, sure, I'll do it, and then you walk along and continue life as usual. That commitment means many things. It means we commit ourselves to the church. And in a specific instance, for you all, it's Faith Presbyterian Church, but it's not just a specific congregation. It's a commitment to live life with other Christians seeking to be missionaries for Jesus. It's also that we live out the commandments and the commands that Jesus taught us and that Scripture teaches us. Of course, the Ten Commandments are the most basic, and Jesus is asked about these, and He said there's two really, really important ones out of that list, and it's to love the Lord your God with all your heart and to love others as yourself. So when we say yes to Jesus, we're saying yes, we'll do these things as well. Part of that mission that we say yes to when we sign up for Jesus is living a life of service through our gifts. We give our tithes and offerings. We give of our time. We give of our talent. We give many things to Him, and we serve Him. Of course, these are all things we say yes to when we say yes to Jesus. But even outside of strict matters of faith, there are things in life that we vow or commit ourselves to that we have to be held accountable for, even just simple things, although the first one, not so simple. When we have children, and this is something that I am learning, and I know that Anthony and Kristen are learning because they're not too much further ahead of us, is when you have children, you're committed to at least, but definitely more than 18 years of caring for those children. It's a commitment you make when you decide, yeah, we are going to have kids. But more simply, when we buy something, especially something that requires a loan, like a house or a car, when we sign those documents, we're saying, yes, I promise that I will pay this obligation that I owe the bank. Even when we take a job in the world that earns our income, we're saying, I'll do X, Y, or Z in order to earn this money. I could go on and on and pick out lots of things, but it's easy to see that life automatically signs us up for a lot of obligations, a lot of commitments, a lot of promises that we have to fulfill. And the more I thought about this as I went over, I thought, wow, this can be overwhelming if you start letting yourself go down the wormhole of all the things that we commit ourselves to. And a lot of those aren't even voluntary. We say yes to Jesus, and all of a sudden we've committed our life to a lot of different things. That's why you've probably heard it said, and I've said at times in my life before, quite literally, when we commit our lives to Christ, we sign our lives away. We're no longer in full control of who we are. But Deuteronomy reminds us, as will Matthew, that while life may bog us down with lots of obligations, lots of things that we are to be held to, sometimes we are the ones that get ourselves in too deep. It can be beneficial, if not healthy, to be careful not to commit ourselves too much. So we're reminded of Matthew's words, the last verse of our passage this morning. It's a fairly well-known statement, teaching by Jesus. Let what you say be simply yes or no. Anything more than this comes from evil. Kind of the general idea of the entire passage, finishing with this statement, is this: if you say yes, let your yes mean yes. Not yes but, or yes maybe, yes and, but yes. If you say yes, that's your word. You shouldn't have to swear on a Bible or invoke some other thing to help hold yourself accountable for your yes or no. That's what all the other verses are leading up to the final one. There's absolutely nothing wrong with having many obligations in life. Of course, I think to a great extent that's a big part of what life is about, living up to the things that we make ourselves part of. And we need to be reminded, too, it's easy to get overwhelmed, but we need to remember that we're not expected to be perfect, right? We know that no matter how diligent we are, we're going to fail at some point. We're gonna slip up or just plain out forget to do something and break some kind of promise, even if innocently and by accident. You can be a good parent without being a perfect parent. You can be a good employee. You can be a faithful Christian without being perfect. We know, of course, that's why we have Jesus. We know we're not perfect, so we need his grace to fill in all those gaps where we slide away and fall. But we're still given the ability and the capacity to make decisions as human beings. God created us that way, and we have to be wise to use those mental discerning abilities to properly say yes or no in the Lord's name, knowing that our yeses and nos represent Jesus. So for the yes crowd here this morning, you're with me. Those of you that just maybe say yes to one too many things, I know your struggle. You say yes because you're big-hearted and too nice to make somebody else do it. So you say, well, you know what, I'll volunteer for it so it doesn't keep getting passed around. Or you're the person that at the end of the meeting, well, nobody volunteered for this thing yet, and everyone looks at each other very awkwardly, and somebody's just waiting for someone else to raise their hand, and you're the person, okay, fine, I'll do it. But when you commit beyond your means and you say, yes, I'll do this thing, remember that you might possibly be breaking other commitments that you have already vowed yourself to. And this is what I'm trying to remind myself of. Whether it's service within the church, in the community, in a larger sense, some nonprofit, in your children's schools, whatever it might be, whatever you find yourself committed to, are you doing that service at the expense of other things? In my example, I find myself away from the home way too much with a 2.5-year-old toddler and an 11-week-old son. I need to be home more. Life is different now. It's different than 5 years ago when I was newly married or not even yet married and had no commitments waiting for me at home, things that needed taken care of. I didn't own a home at that point in time that now needs taken care of. So by saying yes to all these things that by themselves are really good things, I'm in fact breaking promises that I have already committed myself to. So for those of us who don't know how to say no, we need to remember that we've already committed ourselves to a lot of things. We need to be faithful to those few things before we can go beyond them. But for the more forthcoming folks and those of you that I am jealous of that know how to say no, I can't be a part of that, I'm too busy. Or sorry, that's not my thing, I'm not going to help you with it. Not because I don't want to, it's just not for me. I know I won't be very helpful. Sometimes I'm jealous of you. I wish I knew how to more easily discern when to say no. You probably have a more concise, discerning spirit in you than I. And that's a good thing. That can be a really good thing. Maybe you can help us yesers out. But I also want to challenge those of you that maybe find yourself saying no more than yes on this other side, by making sure that when you are saying no, that you're not also saying no to the biggest commitment that we all have in our lives, and that is to say yes to Jesus. Because there are times where we don't like it, but Jesus is calling us to do something, and we want to say no because it's the easier thing to do. But the right thing is to say yes. Now that I've gotten to this point in the sermon, you're probably thinking, you haven't told us anything. You just made it more confusing. What do I do? Do I say yes or no? I don't know. What's the answer? Give me the answer, preacher, please. What's the answer? I wouldn't be preaching on it if I knew the answer. At least not directly. I know the answer. The answer is the standard Sunday school children's sermon answer to every question ever. It's Jesus. It's the only real answer to this quandary. But the good news is, while I might make that sound simplistic, that truly is the answer to our struggle, whichever one it might be. Or maybe you just fall somewhere in between and you don't really have this struggle. The great news is, there's not only do we say yes to Jesus and that links us to God, but God made a greater promise to us that will never be broken, because he has the ability to fulfill what he said he would do and what he does. And he did that and fulfilled that covenant through Jesus Christ. He promises provision for us. He promises help for us. He promises the Holy Spirit to be our comforter and our guide, and God present with us while we're here on earth to help us discern these difficult things that we're faced with, to help us understand what it means to follow the Lord. No matter how hard we fall, no matter what we struggle with, Jesus is going to pull us through those things. His grace is going to carry us over those times where I'm at my desk at 10 o'clock on Friday night going, I have a full day Saturday and I still have a sermon to wrap up for Sunday. You don't want God to be that, oh crap, help me, prayer that we're probably sometimes guilty of. But the good news is, where we fail, he never does. I'll admit, maybe this entire sermon was just God's way of trying to send me a message and talk to myself, but I pray that it means something for you all this morning as well. And no matter what our answer to the question is, my prayer is that whether we say yes, whether we say no, or in situations where we're uncertain, we have to say maybe, or I'm not even sure, that whatever we do, it might be for God's glory, and that we might do it with him in mind, knowing